The Normal Town Council has approved the $29 million Trail East project on Uptown Circle. It's a five-story mixed-use building with apartments on top, retail on the bottom, and office space in the middle. Usually, the mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us the day after council meetings. Today, though, Mayor Chris Koos of Normal is taking a break, and Councilmember Jeff Fritzen has stopped in. Welcome. The town is also offering lower-cost parking to the 270 new people who will be in that building, working, and in some cases, living there. Do you know the cost of that benefit and incentive right on top of the $8 million in tax increment financing money to be paid out over the next 19 years?
I don't know that we have a exact number on that yet. No, the staff is going to study the parking situation a bit to make sure we're not overcommitting and the like, you know, because most of these bigger developments uptown, we've committed blocks of parking places within some of the garages and the like to different uses. And so that wasn't part of our report, you know, the cost of the parking. But we know maybe the biggest cost of the parking is that there will be fewer surface spaces, which people seem to really want, because the building's going to go on that footprint where today there is surface parking. So that's not a dollar cost, but, you know, it is a cost of convenience, and we understand that. So that's one reason the staff is going to study parking, the impact beyond just those spaces we're dedicating, but also maybe looking at a couple of alternatives where people could locate parking.
Do you think the dynamic of parking ease in Uptown is going to change enough to put a chill on traffic in the area?
No doubt it will for some people, because they've told us so. You know that, and there are a number of people who just don't like the idea of parking in a parking garage and have never adapted to it. But the traffic level uptown doesn't seem to diminish; it seems to grow. And I think the other side of that are those who like the environment, the location, the mix of shops and restaurants and services there enough that they will do what's necessary. Personally, you know, when I go uptown, I'm no different than anybody else. I look for the obvious place to park first, and typically have not had an issue finding a surface spot to park in without ever having parked really in the area where this building's going to go. I do park in a parking garage, for meetings and events at the Marriott, things of that nature. I don't have a problem with that. And, when we go to Chicago, you just know that you're going to be parking in a parking garage. And so Uptown Normal, you have a mix. You know, there are times, you know, maybe certain times when the parking garage is the better option. Other times, there's just something about parking on the street or in a parking lot that is much more inviting. And so we'll continue to have that mix. And I think people that want to frequent uptown and take advantage of what's available uptown, they'll figure out a way to, what's most convenient for them.
Now, the master plan for uptown has always had a mixed-use building there. At that location on the traffic circle. But as one speaker pointed out last night, the occupancy rates for retail in Uptown aren't that high right now. Is this going to help or hurt short-term and long-term? Look at both frames of reference.
Right. Well, I would take issue with the occupancy rates as it relates to commercial or retail. We do have I wouldn't necessarily call it a waiting list, but we do have an interested list. People who are always contacting town, wanting to locate uptown, and wanting to be apprised of what the situation's there when something comes available. So I think, we do have ongoing interest in locating uptown. This particular building obviously has one large commercial tenant committed in the Farnsworth Group, but they also have different levels of commitment or interest from other potential occupants. So I don't think this building, once it's completed, obviously there will be an impact because we have more square footage and more available, but I think a significant percentage of this building is committed to a level that it's not going to create a glut or anything like that of space available uptown. I think the biggest thing, and this was referred to last night too, that it was a bit of a puzzle to us to some degree, is that it's taking longer than we had hoped for the first floor of the one uptown on the Circle to build out. But it is an expensive build out, and it's not a space that, where we're, because of our investment as a town, we have an interest in that and can control that to some degree, or work with the developer, on, yeah, that works, no, that doesn't work. And we initially had interest in, a restaurant to fill that whole space, and that's still our preference and what we desire to have. We were willing to work with that developer recently to break the space into a couple different parcels.
And that was yanked.
And that was pulled, yes. But we're flexible somewhat on that to work with the developer to try to get that space filled. But beyond that space, there's not a lot of empty storefront in Uptown Normal.
How does the food hall idea for the Trail East work into the overall plan for Uptown?
Yeah, the food hall is an interesting concept that was brought to us several months ago, and there was another space uptown that they investigated, and again that was in the parking garage, the parking deck there near on College Avenue, near the library and the Heartland Bank building. There's been a space there that up till now has conveniently been there as a staging area for a lot of the construction that's gone on uptown, but the long range plan was for that to build out and perhaps become a urban grocery, and I know the Green Top looked at that space at one time. The food hall looked at that a bit as well. It also, with the food hall, with the kind of build out that's required for a restaurant, a little more extensive maybe than just a office or other use of that nature. That space probably was a little too expensive for them. But this being in a if they end up in this new building. I think that's, it's another food option for Uptown. I hear that a lot. People like what's there, but they would like more variety. And a food hall will give you not just more variety in relative to what's already there, but it will give you variety within the hall itself, as I understand it, with several different food options. So, I think that's it sounds like an interesting option, especially for that space in Uptown, with the kind of foot traffic you have because of the university, and then the in-and-out traffic you have with workers and visitors to Uptown.
Several years ago, the consultant said that Uptown was two or three restaurants away from actually being a restaurant district. What is the sweet spot between becoming a dining destination? What is the sweet spot between becoming a dining destination and having too much in one area so it competes with itself and starves each other, and the establishments starve each other?
Right. That's a good question. I couldn't put an exact number on it, but I think in terms of other businesses and other places in town and how they seem to like to congregate, auto dealers always seem to like to congregate and be in the same place because they know people are going to hop from one place to the next to kind of check out what's available. Restaurants seem to be that way as well. And if you look at our current Main Street, Veterans Parkway, you see different pods of restaurants in different places where there are four, five, six different offerings. And so I think Uptown, to me, can support, something in that neighborhood pretty easily. I hate to run down a roster of what's there now because I'll leave somebody out. But, you have things from the Medici to Maggie Miley's, with full menu things. You have some specialties, with Calzones and The Rock and Jimmy John's, places like that. I think, at that full service restaurant end, one or two more of those types of establishments could easily be absorbed up there. And again, though, it would take, the patrons understanding when you come uptown, you come up there for an ambiance and an experience that's different than a strip mall or, you know, the Veterans Parkway type experience. And yeah, you may have some inconvenience there with parking, being in a garage or farther away on foot. But, you know, way back when we looked at Uptown, and especially this central corridor, we had some overlays done showing parking accessibility as it related to, say, a State Farm headquarters or a Redbird Arena and different things like that, where for those types of events, whether it be work or shopping at Eastland Mall or coming to a football game or basketball game at Illinois State University, there's a different mentality about how far away I park and how far I walk. When it comes to retail and whatever, it's like everybody thinks they need to be right at the front door. And if you're going to be a patron of Uptown, you're going to have to learn to accept that if I want to frequent a nice restaurant, a nice place of business that appeals to me, I may have to also sacrifice on the other end when it comes to that convenience of parking. We don't really think the parking's that inconvenient when compared to all those other things, but it's that mentality and that mindset that people have to bring with it.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker talking with the senior Normal Town Council person, Jeff Fritzen. There is some concern expressed by members of the public at the meeting that the town's share of the cost at 8 million plus parking places plus fees plus a couple other small things like demolishing buildings is too high. Talk about the justification and the balance of incentive versus economic development.
Mm-hmm. The Uptown vision is a long-term vision. The town's participation in a great way is through TIF revenue, tax increment financing revenue, which sets aside the increased value of the real estate taxes to be able to be reinvested into the development itself. And our fellow taxing bodies have agreed with us that it's worth that for the long term increased assessed value that will be there at the end of the TIF. And you know, most of the TIF expires in 6 years. So in 2026. So, that will be realized. But so the value, one of the things that was mentioned at our meeting last night was that you have, out-of-town developers coming in and doing these things. You know, we talked about the one Uptown on the Circle. That's an out-of-town developer who has developed extensively within Bloomington Normal. This Bush is, from Iowa. And so, yes, that's true. They're from out of town, but they are who's in the development game right now. We don't have any local developers doing anything at this scale, and so those are the options we have, and so we got to deal with what's on the table. I think in today's economic development environment, which has been pretty flat for some time, from the Great Recession on, and that really was a big hiccup in the middle of the Uptown development for us. And one reason we pursued an extension on these carved out properties in the TIF. And I think we have to react to the offer that's on the table and what's right in front of us now, and be willing to work with people who bring a project to us. Again, this one with the amount of space that is somewhat committed, the amount of space that is committed for the Farnsworth Group, this is one that to me is really attractive because it's not as much speculation as maybe another development could be.
Certainly not as speculative as Uptown 1 was,
right?
Because there were no pre-committed office space leaseholders when that was approved. The town later had to come in and say, hey, we'll take that space.
Right.
In this case, they're claiming that they're 70% leased or committed already.
Yes. The cost, like I said earlier, there is cost involved in these amenities, the waiver, some fees, the parking, the historical buildings. Some call them historical, some call them old. I don't know what you know, I'm not going to argue over those fine points of that. But, you know, one of those buildings in particular, the one with the mural, is shaky at best as far as, you know, its future as a building that could be refurbished. You know, we know there are issues with it, and the cost to restore it, refurbish it to a full use would be pretty significant for the square footage gained. We realize that, you know, some of that...
Would you address the historic preservationists' concerns?
I think Mayor Coos did a great job at the meeting last night, and as I listened to him going through the inventory, I watched, and he had, you know, just his own pencil scratch notes about different properties, because he has, you know, been connected to historic preservation in the community for 30 years. And he went down this inventory of all the different businesses, over 20 in Uptown Normal, that have benefited from the Uptown vision, in that they either were recipients of facade grants or other assistance to restore, and in some instances, a couple of them, tear down a false facade and get back to what the original look of the building was. So I know there's a concern every time a single property is considered expendable, which, you know, the town did buy 104 and 108 in those addresses in order to be in a position to have some flexibility in working with developers. And this actually is one of those developments where those having the ownership of those properties is a benefit to us as we negotiate. So we haven't stripped out Uptown Normal for all new development. We really encouraged redevelopment and restoration, and a great deal of that has taken place. So we think it's a good trade where, you know, a couple of properties here for a new major development are worth that investment, when, you know, we've got a couple of dozen properties that have done the other thing, and that is, you know, tighten up what they've got and give it new life.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Jeff Fritzen is our guest this morning. Jeff has spent 32 years on the town council with a four-year break in the middle, so two different 16-year stints, and you've announced that you will be stepping down from that body at the end of your term next year. Why is now the time to do that?
To me, I can't claim that from the very start back in 1983 that this was, you know, what I felt, but I've grown in the job and grown in the position to understand that public service requires more than your time. It requires more than maybe a couple of hot button issues that you're passionate about. It requires really the right kind of heart for what you're doing. You know, local, especially on the local level. I think that's a thing that I've come to really respect and hope to protect. You know, I've tried to protect, actually, with some of my reactions to you know, the mayoral election last time and the like. I felt we were getting a little too partisan, a little too much of the politics that we typically associate with a statewide race or a big city race or a national race being brought into to our local politics. And I think our local politics, to me, is more a matter of the heart. And as I've just examined myself, you know, is my heart going to be in it for another 4 years to the level I feel necessary to provide the care and concern that you need to have, you know, to do this job well? And I could do it, I just didn't have that peace that 4 years down the road I would still be at that same place. And so I just felt like it was time, you know, so I really kind of made a pre-decision a few weeks ago that, you know, I'm not going to run, and I wanted to let that rest a little bit to see if anything changed with that. And it really hasn't. I've received encouragement from others to run. We have some different things on the horizon that we could potentially be involved in a big way with, you know, the multi-sports complex, for instance, just kind of sorting all that out. And yet, even knowing those things would be kind of exciting, I never felt any regret or remorse over it. So I just really, through that introspection, I think came to a point where I think it's the right thing to do at this point in time to, it's just time for me to move on to other things, or away from this particular area anyway, and let things transpire as they may.
Other public officials, former Mayor Paul Harmon, Mayor Chris Koos, have remarked on your ability to deliberate and consider, and your talk about making a decision and letting it rest and coming back and checking it again. It's kind of a hallmark of the way you approach service. What other aspects of leadership can you share with the town, the public, and perhaps your successor about how you approach the job of leadership and service?
You learn a lot as you go. And at some point in time, I learned you don't always need to be the first one to say what you feel or tell what you have on your mind. Sometimes it's better to sit back and listen to everyone else and to sort through that a bit and then determine what your response is. So that's something that, again, I learned over time and over the last these last 16 years. I think that 4 years off really kind of gave me a new perspective, gave me kind of a fresh look at things. And I would say these last 16 years, I've probably been a much more effective council person in my mind than I was. Some people, you know, maybe are interested in getting elected and serving one term and getting that one point across, but on a local level, I don't think that's the right mindset, the right attitude, and that gets back to that heart thing that I was talking about before.
Jeff Fritzen is a 32-year member of the Normal Town Council.